Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. From time to time in life, each of us will be faced with life-changing decisions. We often call these forks in the road. The meaning of this imagery is clear. When a road splits, one choice will lead to one destination, and the other leads to a completely different one. One such fork exists about 40 miles to the west of the city of Pecos. Travelers coming from El Paso must choose to stay on I-10, which will lead them to San Antonio, or to take the fork that is I-20, that will lead them to Dallas. The consequences of one's choice in this instance, as it is with many such choices, are not always immediately evident or significant. You see, within less than an hour's drive on either of these highways, a mistaken choice can be corrected without significant consequences to one's travel plans. The farther one travels on either highway, however, the distance between the two highways broadens, and correcting a mistake becomes more difficult, if not impossible, and the ultimate destination far different than if an alternate choice had been made. While making the wrong choice at a fork in the road on a highway may cause little more than some inconvenience and some lost time, making the wrong choice at the forks in the road of life, however, are of far greater consequence, and at least some of these choices will have eternal consequences. For this reason, we need to give serious thought to the choices we make when we stand at the forks of the road of our lives. One of the best examples of a man who made wise choices at the forks in his road is Moses. The choices Moses made are summarized for us by the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 26. Here's what the scripture says. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Now, the record of this part of Moses' life is found in Exodus chapter 2 and is a familiar story to most of us. At the time that Moses was born, the Pharaoh had ordered that all male children born to the Hebrews should be put to death. When Moses was born, his mother defied Pharaoh's order and hid the child for 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she placed him in a wicker basket and set it in the water among the reeds that grew along the Nile River. The basket was discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, and Moses' own mother was hired to be his nurse. This divinely appointed protection set the stage for the choice Moses would make some 40 years later when he encountered his first fork in the road. That fork is related to us in Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Here the scripture says, "Now it came about in those days, when Moses had grown up, that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other. And he said to the offender, 'Why are you striking your companion?' But he said, 'Who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?' Then Moses was afraid and said, 'Surely the matter has become known.'" Now, this incident was a turning point in Moses' life. The choice he made that day changed the entire course of his life, but it did not come about by chance. Notice in verse 11 that the scripture says that Moses went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labor. Now, how did Moses know that the Hebrews were his brothers? In the Cecil B. DeMille drama The Ten Commandments, produced in 1956, Moses was surprised and shocked to learn that he was a Hebrew. Yet, when we read the scriptures, we see quite an opposite story. According to the scriptures, Moses purposely went out to see the affliction of his people and what they were enduring. The question of how Moses knew this is not directly answered in the scriptures, but it is clearly inferred. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 7 through 10, we learn that Pharaoh's daughter hired Moses' own mother to nurse him. Obviously, Moses' mother taught him who he was, that is, that he was a Hebrew, and instilled in him the awareness that led him to go out on that fateful day to see about his people. Thus, when faced with the choice of allowing one of his fellow Hebrews to be beaten or intervening, Moses chose to stand up for his kinsman. Had Moses taken the alternate fork in the road, he would have never gone to Midian, he would have never met God in the burning bush, and never returned to lead Israel to Sinai and to the Promised Land. Had he chosen differently, he might one day have become Pharaoh himself, and perhaps been one of those ancient rulers that we read about in world history classes, and whose artifacts are on display in the great museums of the world. But Moses would not have become the hero of faith and the symbol of God's covenant with Israel that he is today. Now, it is not enough to simply say that Moses made a choice to take one path instead of another. To do so suggests that there were no consequences to his choice. When we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 26, we notice that Moses' decision involved two elements. In that text, verse 24 says, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." So as Moses stood at this fork in the road, there was a negative element to his decision. He had to refuse to go one direction in order to go the other direction. In this case, Moses had to refuse to continue in the things that had marked his life as one of the heirs in the house of Pharaoh. Now, just refusing to go one direction is not the whole story. We notice in verse 25 of our text that Moses chose something to replace what he was refusing. In this case, he chose to go the direction of his biological people, the Hebrews. When Moses defended the Hebrew slave who was being beaten, he took a step from which he could not retreat. Having chosen to go this way, he chose to accept whatever might lie ahead beyond his horizon. And this is the nature of forks in the road, in whatever circumstance they may arise. One cannot stand at the fork and refuse to move. He must go one way or the other. And when he does so, he leaves the way not chosen behind and accepts whatever may befall him in the chosen path. The point here is that making a choice at a fork in the road has a cost that must be borne. Moses is certainly a case in point. When he chose to cast his lot with his Hebrew brothers, it cost him terribly. First, it cost him one of the highest social, if not political, positions in all of Egypt. For 40 years, he had been the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had received the best of all that Egypt could offer. He was educated in all the knowledge and skills of his adoptive nation. He was in a position that might have resulted in him becoming Pharaoh one day. And he gave all of this up to go with the people of God. As the son of Pharaoh's daughter, Moses had the additional benefit of great wealth at his disposal. He lacked for nothing in a physical sense and could indulge himself in every kind of physical pleasure that Egypt had to offer. When he chose the other path, the path of his Hebrew countrymen, that led him to the wilderness of Midian and ultimately a life of toil in the service of the Lord. But Moses also gave up the love and good graces of Pharaoh's daughter and all those Egyptians who had cared for him and trained him in all of Egypt's wisdom. Think about how great a cost this was for him. How many today are willing to turn away from all they've ever known in order to serve the Lord? It is also almost axiomatic that they will refuse to pay such a cost, even for salvation. But Moses paid that cost. And these were not the only costs that Moses bore. The writer of Hebrews says that he chose to endure ill treatment with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, and that he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. As a result of his choice, Moses spent the next 80 years of his life living in tents, first in the wilderness of Midian, and then as he led Israel out of Egypt to Sinai, and finally to the gates of the Promised Land. Moses bore the burden of speaking for God to Pharaoh in order to secure the release of Israel. And then he spoke for God to a rebellious and ungrateful people who murmured against him and tested his patience to the breaking point. Finally, Moses paid the price of dying before God on a desolate mountaintop, separated from all his people and only a short distance removed from the promised land that his sin kept him from entering. As great as these costs were to Moses, and we must not try to minimize them, he did receive some good things for having made the choice that he did. For one thing, the name of Moses is one of the most respected and revered in all the world's history. The covenant that God made with Israel at Sinai bears his name. We call it the Law of Moses. Even among secular people, Moses is regarded as a great man. He would not be so widely regarded otherwise, even if he had become the greatest of the pharaohs. Aside from this, Moses received the accolades of God himself. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, the scripture says that God spoke to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. No other human being ever had such a relationship with God after the Garden of Eden. And no human being has had such a relationship with God since the time of Moses. When the Lord was transfigured in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8, Moses was one of the two ancient men who appeared to Jesus and spoke with him about his impending death. The price that Moses paid to follow God's way was great in human terms, but the reward he received for having done so far surpassed this cost. Nothing that Moses gave up in life to serve the Lord is worthy of comparison with the glory that has been bestowed upon him by God. Choosing the right fork is not easy, and the results of making the right choice may cause some pain and loss in life. But Moses' example shows us that doing so, making the right choice, is always worth the cost. There will be many times in each person's life when he will have to make a life-changing choice because he is standing at a fork in the road. When we consider the story of Moses, and admittedly we've only looked at a small portion of his life, sort of in summary fashion, but considering the choice that Moses made and the consequences of that choice, and us thinking about that together today and making application of it to our own lives, we need to each have the moral fortitude that Moses had so that we also will make the right choice as we stand at the fork in the road in our lives to determine whether we're going to be named with the people of God or go the way of the world. If you are not a Christian, you are at a fork in the road. The choice you face is to enter through the narrow gate that leads to eternal life, or to follow the masses through the wide gate that leads to destruction. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and if you are willing to turn away from your sins and to confess your faith in him, you can obey the gospel by being immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, just as Scripture requires. Making this choice will cost you plenty in human terms, but the reward is far more than enough than to make up for any cost that you may pay for having made this wonderful choice. We're standing at a fork in the road. What choice will you make? Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.